when they sent me the list of topics that they would like people to choose, this was automatically my first one. I mean, it was quick. In fact, I was afraid people would want it. Everybody would want it. So I sent him an immediate answer. This is it. Because I have a passion for this particular topic. Now, the topic we're looking at, the idea of forgiveness, is not the idea of God's forgiveness. We're going to be dealing with what do we do with the people that harm us. So that's what this topic is about. And in that sense, it becomes a very practical topic. Over the 20 years of counseling that I've done with individuals and couples, if I had to list the top five things that keep people from getting on with their lives, pulling together, then in that top five would be this issue of forgiveness. The inability to forgive keeps people from being well, and it destroys a lot of lives. Most often people see it as a responsibility of the other person. It's their job to take care of it, to get the ball rolling, and when they show me that they're ready to work on it, I'm ready to work on it. Or they go through this process of, yes, I have forgiven them, but I just can't forget it, and therefore I can't talk to them, or I can't sit next to them, or I can't be in the same building with them. And so because learning to forgive is such a difficult topic, I have, it has a subtitle, which is the person two rows up and just to the right really needs this lesson. So that takes care of everybody that needs to know how it is we need to learn to forgive. I know, and there's people behind you too, so know that you're on the top of the list, evidently. That's the trouble with sitting in the front row. Well, I want to start then, since I have just 40 minutes to do this. On your piece of paper, the first thing I'd like for you to do is write a working definition. From your perspective, what does it mean to forgive someone else? What does it mean to forgive someone else? Take about 30 seconds, a minute, write quickly. Okay, take another bit of time and turn to a friend or a neighbor, either in front or behind you or beside you, and talk about your two definitions. See if you want to modify it. Take about another minute to do that. Okay, thank you. Back up here. What were some of those definitions that you talked about? Definition for forgiveness. What is it?
The ability to not let a negative past problem affect our positive relationship.
An ability to not let a past problem, a negative, say it again one more time.
The
the ability not to let a negative past problem affect our positive relationships. Okay, another one. Fred.
Not to get even, eye for an eye.
Not to get even, or an eye for an eye.
Wipe clean the slate.
Wipe clean the slate. Now this side. This side's well represented.
Not expecting anything in return afterwards.
Not expecting anything in return afterwards. Yes. Don't hold a grudge
against the person who has said something
wrong. Okay, don't hold a grudge against the person who has said something wrong to you.
I remember when you gave the lesson before and made an excellent point. You assume the cost.
You assume the cost.
Letting go.
Letting go? Yeah.
To pardon someone for a harmful activity.
To pardon someone for a harmful activity. Okay, I'd like for you to take a moment then, because those were all nice definitions, because it's a working definition. Okay? But what I want you to do now is I want you to take a moment, look back at your definition, or the ones that you've heard, and think about the kinds of things that are going on. What is the emphasis of your working definition? Whose responsibility? What needs to happen? What's involved in this process? Take a moment and discuss that with the people around you again. Okay, your attention back up here again. Okay, what were some of the things, what were the emphasis in your definitions or the ones that you heard? Yeah?
The forgiver.
The forgiver, okay? Yes?
Personal responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
The relationship above the crime.
Okay, relationship above the crime or the transgression. Other things, isn't it? Yes.
One thing, maybe something you have to repeat.
Okay, it may be something that you have to repeat. So there are also feelings involved. Some of those had feelings. Retribution, reconciliation. A whole variety of concepts that we would need to work on in forgiveness. This is not an easy subject. It is not one that you just trip through and say, oh, I can deal with that and move on. Because it affects the whole of who we are. And so that's what we're going to look at. And there, for me, there are a couple of clear markers. And here's the first clear marker. Take a moment and read that to yourself. And then when you get done, read it again. And when you get done, read it a third time. How important is this topic? Yeah, how important?
Salvation.
Salvation. It is a salvation issue. It is that important. Look at what he says. This is Jesus talking. This is what he says. He gives you both sides. He gives you the positive and the negative. He lets you know the benefits, and he lets you know what's going to happen if you don't do it. It is a serious issue. And that's why I think this particular issue affects more people's lives than we have, than we understand. Because they never get through it. but it's a serious issue. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. If we don't forgive, we will not be forgiven. That's what Jesus said. It's very clear. So it's critical then for us then to know what it is that gets us past that, to get us to the spot that says, okay, I can work on this, and I can work on this whole issue of forgiveness because it's that important. Now, this is not just the only statement. Jesus also said, if you want other passages, and I won't take time to go to them, but Matthew 7 and 2, Matthew 18, 35, Mark 11, 25. Paul said essentially the same thing in Colossians, the third chapter, the 13th verse. James said essentially the same thing in James, the second chapter, and the 13th verse. It's not just a one-time shot. This is a serious issue. So what we need to do then is we need to recognize those things that get in our way. So what are some of those things that get in our way of dealing with forgiveness effectively?
Anger.
Anger.
Pride.
Pride.
Self-righteousness.
Fear.
Hurt feelings.
Pardon? Wanting justice. Yeah. All those things get in the way. And are those things real in our lives? Yeah, sure they are. Yeah. We get scared. We get scared with those things. And when we get hurt, we really are hurt. It's not just a little thing we're worried about. And I just listed a bunch, and you listed a bunch of them as well. There's not enough faith. The repentant is not sincere. I just don't feel like it. They haven't said that they are sorry yet. We want retribution. And it's not fair. And it is not fair, as we're going to see. But there is one thing that I want to make sure that we're looking at. And that is, I want us to understand that what we're looking at are things that need forgiveness, and it's not things that are our hobbies. In other words, they're not the issues that we feel strongly about, but nobody else feels that strongly about it, but we want to drive everybody to our own feelings. It's not nitty, picky stuff. These are real issues that we're going to talk about forgiveness. There are some things that are serious enough that forgiveness needs to be worked through. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But there are behaviors that we have, folks, that just need to be excused. We don't need forgiveness. We just need an understanding that they're a human being. Accidents happen. Minor lapses in judgments take place. Misunderstandings occur. In other words, we just need to get over it. There are some things we just got to walk through and recognize that they pull the same dumb stuff that we have pulled with somebody else because we're human beings. But there are some issues that are deep enough and serious enough that we really need to think about this issue. And those are the kinds of things that I want to look at. So as we look at this, how does God forgive? Have three passages there, if someone would pick those passages and read them out loud for us. Start with Isaiah 43, 25. Read them nice and loud. And then somebody be ready for Jeremiah and then Hebrews. And then the other three also. We'll get to them eventually. Isaiah 43, 25. Someone read it nice and loud for us. Okay, so how does God forgive? That's our question here. What we notice is that He blots them out and then He remembers them no more. Okay, next passage, Jeremiah 31, 34.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and I remember their sins no more.
Okay, so again, how does God forgive? He forgives, and he remembers no more. Hebrews 8 and 12.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Okay. He's going to forgive, and he's going to remember no more. Do you see a pattern flowing here? What's our common denominator? Remembers no more. Remembers no more. What's the difference, do you think, between remembering no more and forgetting? What's the difference between remembers no more and forgetting?
Offense.
Offense? Tell me what that means. I'm not...
In other words, one is you remember it or you haven't forgotten it, but it doesn't offend you anymore.
Okay. So one is you remember it and you haven't forgotten it, but it doesn't offend you anymore. Okay? And I'm repeating this because they ask us to do that for the tape. Dwelling on it, not dwelling on it. Yeah. Don't use it against them.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. When you forgive somebody, you don't hold it against them like blackmail, so that you can say, "Well, remember when you did that, and I forgave you." You're supposed to just forgive them and then let it be at that.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't use it as blackmail. Now we'll try. Okay, she read my notes. Yeah. And that to me is exactly the difference here. See, when it comes to forgiveness, we have a choice. Because we will not forget things that happened to us. God didn't make us that way. That's the reason we have this brain up here that has this huge function and all these little cells going around up in there so that we'll remember stuff. So we have the choice about what we do with the information. And that's the example God is giving us. It's not that he never forgets it because he knows, but he doesn't remember them anymore. That's his promise to us. Is that when I go to the Father and say, "Father, I have sinned, forgive me." He says, "Okay." And on the day of reconciliation, when we stand before the Father, he will not bring that up again to me. It's not that he had forgotten about it. It's that he chose not to remember. And see, the reason I'm starting here is why? Back to Matthew again. What did it say? We're supposed to
forgive
as... Yeah, the Father forgives us. So it's important, critical, for us to know how God forgives us. Because that's how we know how to forgive then, isn't it? If I can understand God's forgiveness of me, I can understand my role in forgiveness as well. Okay? So forget and remember. Forget means you lose something. God, remember no more implies a choice. God chooses to forgive. His grace is free, but it's not cheap. Forgiveness is not easy. Okay? The cost of forgiveness, the cost of remembering no more, was the death of his son. He can't just not remember anymore. Because there still has to be atonement. And we talked about the idea of atonement. And in that atonement, there has to be a price to pay. And God has said, "I've taken care of that." And that's the reason I can remember no more. That's the reason I can make that choice. Okay, so let's look at me then. Next section. What's my motivation? In other words, what's going on in there to give me the desire to be like God in my forgiveness? Now, we already looked at Matthew, and that's really one of our big desires. But there are other things that remind us of what we need to do. So the first passage there, Ephesians 4 and 32. Someone read that for us.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Sure. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, if I take that seriously, when I have somebody who has transgressed against me, who has slandered my name, who has said things that are wrong, who has said I have done things that I have not done, I have a choice to make. Because they came and said, I'm so sorry. That was foolish and wrong. I have a choice. I can forgive them, but I can forgive them how, Paul says? Just as God in Christ forgave me. That's how I have to do it. Okay? That's the guideline there. Okay, in the next passage, Colossians 3, 12 and 13.
And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you.
Okay. Same principle, isn't it? Comes across the same principle. Forgive as you have been forgiven. So is it critical that I know how my God forgives me? It is critical. That's why I think John's series of lessons is important on the fundamentals in salvation. It is critical that I know about my salvation. Because the more I know about my salvation, the more I am going to know about forgiveness. Okay, in the last passage. Okay. And what I like about this passage is our connection. You see, we know that the blood of Jesus has purified me. And the blood of Jesus has purified Butch. And therefore, if Jesus' blood has purified the two of us, we have a fellowship. And anything that gets in the way of that fellowship, his problem or my problem, needs to be taken care of because we have the blood of Jesus between us. I have to do so. I have to make sure that I can get that fellowship going again. Because it's there, and it's not something I can choose to do nothing about. So, one of my hopes was in doing this was to give you some practical information as well, because generally people know the scriptural basis for forgiveness. We sometimes don't like it, and we sometimes ignore it, and we sometimes put, yeah, I can forgive, but, and then we add our own 2 Daniel 4, 6 in there someplace, so that we can fix the way we feel about what's going on. But the scripture is clear about what needs to happen. But I know it's not easy. So what is it that we can do? So a couple of then points about what's in it for me, and then how do I forgive, so that we can look at ways to handle this whole issue of forgiveness. Well, what's in it for me? When I begin dealing with the issue of forgiveness, just by acknowledging that I have a problem with somebody else, it acknowledges that there is a wrong that has been committed. And that's important. It's more than just, well, it's no big deal. Have you heard that phrase? Someone says, I'm sorry, and the answer you get is, it's no big deal. Well, then why say I'm sorry? If it's no big deal, then what are you so upset about? Let's just move on. Well, it is a big deal. It's not like you're saying, oh, don't worry about it. The hospital stay wasn't that bad after all. But we do that when we don't honor the importance of our forgiveness and that there is an issue we need to take care of. It's not just let it flow by and pretend like nothing happened. Forgiveness is confrontation. And we don't like confrontation. Most of us don't anyway. That's why we just soon not do anything about it. And then it festers. And then it gets to be a big problem.
We like it when it's on our end.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, when it's on our end. When it's somebody else's problem, they need to make us feel good. Yeah, we do. The second thing that we need to look at in this is it changes. When we acknowledge that there is an issue of forgiveness, it changes our status from victim to victor. When someone has hurt us, we sometimes believe there's nothing that can be done. And then we get in this victim role and things are always wrong. That's what a victim is. Everything is always wrong. It can never be fixed. And regardless of how much the other person grovels, it will never be right. Well, this moves us away from there. In other words, forgiveness says, you will not dictate the way I respond. You will not dictate who I am. You see, this idea of me taking the role, the active role in forgiveness, whether it was my fault or your fault, because I take this active role, this is a Jesus mandate. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 39 through 41. Passage where Jesus talks about, you know, if someone strikes you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone bids you to go a mile, go the extra mile. If they want your coat, give him your cloak also. It's a whole issue of forgiveness and how you deal with it. Why do you think Jesus gave that little scenario right there? What does it do for the person who is struck on one cheek, turns the other cheek? What does it do for us? It's doing more than others. It shows we're not retaliating.
It shows that what they do to us does not matter. It's our allegiance is to the Lord, and we have the security and the knowledge that we will be declared righteous by the Lord, and therefore whatever is declared by man means nothing.
Sure. Our allegiance and our righteousness is not bound up in that behavior that just happened. Yes, Fred?
They're not in control of our life, or we're not like a slave.
Okay, they're not controlling our lives, and we're not being slaves. This is a fabulous passage. I love this passage. And I especially love it from the historical standpoint, from what I've read. The Romans were able to demand of the Jews to carry their backpacks when they were walking along the Roman roads. And the law was they had to carry it for a mile. And of course the Jews, that made them unclean, right? So they were unclean for the day as soon as they had to touch the Roman stuff. And so they had the miles marked out. So they would go and they would know exactly a mile, and when the mile hit, they'd flip that pack off and in disgust and go take care of stuff. And Jesus says, when you get to the end of your mile, go the second mile. Can you picture for me a Roman soldier who comes to the end of the first mile and is looking for his pack in the dirt and the man's still walking? Who is in control at that point? Yeah, it's the Jew that's in control. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Do you want to be in control, or do you want someone else to control you? If you want to be in control, do the extra, do the unexpected. Go above the call. Because then you can make a difference. People can think differently than they ever thought before. You give them that opportunity. Martin Luther King, before I go to this next one, in this same venue said, to our most bitter opponents we say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. And he was quite successful. Quite successful. Forgiveness makes sense if you have needed or do need or will need forgiveness. Well, that should cover all of us. We've already talked about that. It is the only road to real freedom, this whole area of forgiveness. It is risky. There are no guarantees that the other person will see our how generous we are to them. They may just think we're crazy. But it is the only road to freedom, because the only other road that we have as an option is self-destruction. Chinese proverb goes, whoever opts for revenge should dig two graves. That's what it does when we harbor this forgiveness, when we don't deal with it, when we don't look at it from the standpoint we need to. We just dig our own grave. Someone else has said, not forgiving someone is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. That's pretty graphic, but it gets the point across. It is the only road that we have to real freedom. And quite frankly, it is not Jesus' suggestion that you do this. It's more than just a suggestion. So how do I do it then? 5 steps that I'm going to give you about how I can forgive and the processes I need to go through. First of all, I need to acknowledge that I have been seriously hurt. Remember, we're not talking about disappointments or slights that we have received. Seriously hurt. I want us to think about that whole issue, where the pain inflicted is personal, it's unfair, it's very deep. Things like betrayal, brutality, whether physically or emotionally, they come back to that. If it's just a disappointment, go back to Matthew 18 and take care of it one-on-one, like Jesus said. We're talking about issues that drive at the heart of your soul. And they need to be looked at. And you need to acknowledge, this is so serious, I'm going to have to do something about it. Secondly, we need to surrender the right to get even. And that probably is the major hindering stone for people who are dealing with forgiveness. They're waiting for the other person to be really sorrowful or really repentant or really hurt, or buildings to fall on them or cars to run over them. Something that will indicate that they have this sense that they need to be forgiven. Butch? Sure, it should be perceived right, because we really don't have the right. But that's how we take it. There's a story that goes, a mother ran into the bedroom when she heard her 7-year-old son screaming, and she found that his 2-year-old sister had both hands in his hair and was pulling for all their worth, and she came in and gently unlocked the hands from the air and soothed the little girl and the older brother and said, you know, she didn't mean it. She didn't know that it hurt. And he acknowledged that, and she walked out the door and down the hall, and the girl started screaming. So she runs back in and says, what's the matter? And he says, quite calmly, she knows now. That's what we do with forgiveness sometimes. We want to make sure they hurt as much as we hurt. And until that happens, we're not ready to move on. But we have to give up that right. God looked beyond our sins, and we need to look beyond the sin of our people in front of us. And this probably is a real difficult one. I need to search for the real person beneath the evil mask. You know, that other stuff is all stuff that I do in my head. You know, I talk to myself, I can look at scriptures, but at some point, I'm going to have to lift my eyes up out of the book and look forward and see that person standing in front of me. And that's where it gets difficult. And so one thing that I can do is look for the real person. We need to recognize that in this, in the other person's lives, they also have suffered. They have been wronged. They are weak. They are needy. They are fallible, just like I am. I'm not suggesting we excuse them. I'm simply suggesting we acknowledge our commonness as humans. Because though they have done it to us, we have done it to others. So we need to look at what's going on. We can forgive them because God has forgiven us. God looked beyond my own sin and saw some real person beneath my evil mask and said, "Dan, I forgive you." I hadn't asked. I may not even have wanted it, but he did it anyway. Desire that good things would happen to your wrongdoer. John mentioned this, I think, also in his class and the questions that came up. This is not taking away punishment. It's changing motivation. It's changing my motivation. We need to pray for circumstances that will lead to repentance for both of us. Because what we always want in repentance is the ability to enjoy a healed relationship. That's its goal, isn't it? If we go back and start at the beginning, we see that was the goal. That's the reason God sent His Son. That's the reason He says, "I will forgive and remember no more." Because He wants that relationship. And then He said, "I want you to forgive like I've forgiven." So that's our goal in forgiveness, is to bring about a relationship that is healed. And it's not easy. And there are some times that it can't happen. Sometimes we can't move on because of death. You can't go to that person and figure it out and get it built back together. There are times when it won't work because the other person simply won't join you in that relationship. They're just not there. And so you can't do anything about that. For reconciliation to happen, the other party needs to know the pain that they have caused in your life. And you need to be able to share that with them. And you both need to have sorrow. And then there can be a healing and a forgiveness in that relationship. It's not an easy thing for us to do. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Yep. Okay, the only thing we have to get even with is someone who has done something good for us. That's our right. Honor that debt of love. Matthew 18, I don't have time, I'm out of time, but you know the passage of the two servants who owed the great debts. One 3 lifetimes of debt, one day's wages. And you break it down into that scenario, and you begin to see the enormity of that. And so there are some questions in that we can ask ourselves. We first of all need to ask, do I have my hands on anyone's throat? Do I have my hands on anyone's throat? I need to check my own life and see what's going on. And if I do, I need to ask myself, who paid the debt that I owed anyway? As I'm choking that other person, I need to think about the hands that were around my neck that are now gone. And then I need to look otherwhere. Does someone have their hands around my throat? And the question is, what should my attitude be to him or her? How do I deal with them in love and compassion and in forgiveness? Forgiveness is, I had you write a definition, let me give you a couple and I'm I'm a couple of minutes over. I'm almost done. Forgiveness is a willingness to walk beyond the hurt to a new understanding and a deeper relationship. Forgiveness is the decision of our will to release a particular person, followed by verbalizing that to God. They're up there. And I'll have them here, and you can copy them later if you want them. A process at the end of which God declares that the matter of sin has been dealt with once and for all. The wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced Him. And finally, forgiveness is simply an act of faith. And I have those because I'm out of time. Forgiveness is, let me encourage you to look back over your definition after you've listened to some of this and shared with us ways that you can rewrite your definition for you personally and decide what you need to do about this very real subject. Final comments, rebuttals, exclamations, amens. The word of the New Testament means to send forth. It does. And there's some good illustrations. And if this is an issue that you'd like to talk about, like I said, I chose this one because it's one of my passionate subjects. I'm glad to talk to you about it. Anything else? Thank you so much.